Church, let's read Isaiah 40 and verse 8 together. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated.
Christmas season is all about Father Christmas. And so my question this morning to you as we prepare to open God's Word will be in Luke chapter 11. We're just going to pick up where we left off last week in verse 5 and go all the way to verse 13. But since this season in particular is all about Father Christmas, my question for you is, where do you go with your Christmas wish list, Jenny Williams? Where do you go for your Christmas wish list? Where do you go for your Christmas wish list, Mr. Southern? Where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go for your Christmas wish list? You know, we have not only wishes, we have significant needs as people. I mean, every morning we wake up with needs, physical needs that we have, food, clothing, shelter, not just physical needs, we also have spiritual needs. I mean, daily, like we saw last week, forgiveness, daily reconciliation, daily struggles that we have, just even relationally and emotionally. We have needs in friendships that we have, in our marriages we have needs. We have needs for children. We have needs in the workplace. We're just very needy, aren't we? And so where do you go with your needs? Where do you go with your Christmas wish list? Now, I'm not sure if he's here today, but he may be embarrassed, but I was at the mall this last week, and I happened to see Mark O'Brien there, and he was sitting in Santa's lap. Just kidding. If you know Mark O'Brien, that would be the last place he would be sitting, right? But we have a tendency to think that this Christmas season we go to Santa, right? We even go when things get difficult to different people. We take out our cell phone, right? We take out our cell phone and we text or we call and we reach out. And maybe it's the season of, and you remember past and you remember people who are no longer here. And so you feel the weight of that. And so where do you go with your Christmas needs? I think there's a healthy place to go to friends. But I think what Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 11, which we're going to see today, verse 5 through 13, is that we go to the Father first. Father Christmas first. Because the Father is the only one who can make you full. And so is there a place for Facebook? I think so. But where do you go throughout the day when you have a spare moment, when you have spare time? Do you go straight to friends on Facebook? Do you scroll to see what they are saying today, what they're doing today? Or do you go to the Father first so that you can be Father full? And do you put Father faith in Him alone? Because as wonderful as friendships and family can be, the most important relationship is with our Heavenly Father within His heavenly family and our friendship with Him. And so, have you seen it before? I mean, last week we went through the Lord's Prayer, which is probably better called the Disciples' Prayer because He's teaching them to pray. Or you might even say a model prayer. And so, coming out of the model prayer, the way that we're supposed to pray, is this story, this parable, this truth, and this promise. And so, would you stand with me as we read Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5? And before we read, would you pray with me? Father, we come this morning to You first, Father Christmas, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom You have sent to provide for our deepest spiritual needs, forgiveness. This morning we need Your forgiveness. Forgive us, O God. Cleanse us, purify us, and fill us, I pray, with Your Spirit. Fill us with faith. Fill us this morning with joy. Fill us with peace. Fill us with wisdom, O God. Teach us to pray as you taught your disciples to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Jesus, teach us so that this season and this next year and until you bring us home, even into eternity, that we would come to you with our needs, even our wants, and we would trust you. And so show us wonderful things from your word even now, and give us greater understanding and clarity into the good news of the gospel. And if there's anybody in here who's never been born again, who's never been made spiritually alive, what a Christmas gift that would be from you to them. So would you awaken them? Would you give them your Holy Spirit? Would you cause them to be born again? Would you grant them faith and repentance and salvation? And Lord, for those of us who do know you, would you make us more like Christ? Make us more faithful, more intimate in fellowship with you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Look with me, verse 5. And Jesus said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You can be seated. Jesus, in talking to his disciples and in talking to us, if in fact you are his disciple, you are his follower, you are his child, he teaches them by using a story. He says, suppose you went to your friend's house and you knocked on his door and it was 12 o'clock at night. It was midnight. And you went to his house and knocked on his door because you had a friend that was on a journey, and he got to your house about midnight and he was hungry from that long journey and you didn't have any bread. And you couldn't meet his needs for bread. And so you went to your neighbor, your friend, and you knocked, and your friend's inside the house asleep like anybody in the first century at midnight would be, before modern day electricity, before you could surf the internet at midnight, before you could do all of the activities that we do oftentimes at midnight, before you could watch Nick at Night or whatever you might do at midnight. In a day when the sun went down, most people went to bed very soon after that. This man and his family had been asleep for a while in probably, like most first century homes, a one-bedroom home where they all slept in the same room on the same bed. It wasn't really a bed, it was a mat. I use this modern-day illustration just to kind of depict what this man's friend was doing at midnight. He was sleeping with his family in this one-room home, which meant if he got up, guess who's going to wake up? That's right. Even the kids know. Even the kids know, right? Which is so interesting about Jesus' stories. Even children can understand them, and yet even adults can be baffled by them. And so the man from inside says, "Why are you bothering me? I'm asleep. My family's asleep. What is it that you want?" He said, "Well, I need 3 loaves of bread, please." Now remember, last week we saw that one of the things that God wants us to ask for is our daily bread, which is a metaphor for not only our physical nourishment that we need each day, but our spiritual nourishment, our emotional nourishment, our nourishment. We need God for everything. And so he says, "Ask me for bread." And so here the man is going to his friend and he's asking for bread at midnight. And the friend's like, "No way. I mean, we're friends and everything. But if I get up, my children are going to wake up." And you know what happens when children wake up in the middle of the night? Some of y'all parents know right now what happened when children wake up in the middle of the night. You don't sleep well the rest of the night, more than likely. But the man keeps asking, keeps knocking, and keeps seeking, which is pretty annoying, right? "I need 3 loaves. I need 3 loaves. Finally, the guy says, "Fine." And he does so because of the man's impudence. Now, that's a really weird word, isn't it? We don't use that word regularly. Impudence means, well, shamelessness, boldness, persistence. The man keeps knocking, keeps asking, keeps seeking until the guy finally says, "All right, if I don't get up, you're going to wake up the kids anyway, and you're going to wake up the neighbors. Fine, I'll give you the loaves." Now, the friend is reluctant and bothered by this. And Jesus says, well, if a friend, in response to another friend's impudence, shamelessness, boldness, even audacity, and persistence, then how much more so the Father in heaven? Because the Father is better even than a friend. And so could I just kind of apply this with you in some ways? I've told you this, right? Friendship is good. Friendship is really good. But there are some things that your friends can't carry for you, can't help you with in an ultimate sense. I mean, not even the best friend you might have. If you constantly go to your friend, your family, other people, before you go to the Father, then you're going to be putting something on them that they can't bear. And eventually, even your best friends will be bothered by you. Now, they might give you what you're asking for, but the Father wants you to come to Him first. And if you go to Him first, then He'll lead you to other people sometimes. But when you go to them, you won't be trying to put something on them that only He can carry. And there's a difference there. You can't go to the creation to give you something that only the Creator can. And so Jesus, He follows up and says, "Here's what I'm trying to say to you, my disciples, children of the Father through me. Ask. And when you ask, keep asking. Keep asking the Father persistently, boldly, shamelessly, yes, even with audacity, all the while honoring Him and humbling yourself before Him, because yes, He's Abba Father, but He's also Holy Father. And His name is to be hallowed. And when you go to Him in hallowing His name, and you go to Him through Christ, you have access to Him. Why would you go to anyone else first anyway? So ask and keep on asking, and you will receive. Seek God, seek the Father first and keep on seeking Him. To tie it into last week, keep saying, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, not mine. On earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this day our daily bread. But keep seeking Him, because when you seek Him with your needs and your request, sometimes He'll actually change what you think are your needs and your wants. Don't act like you didn't used to do it. Georgia, you used to do it. John, you used to do it. You were in bed as a child, and whether it was Father Christmas or Santa Claus, you had your little wish list that you were going over at night, didn't you? And you thought, oh, this Christmas, if I could just get, I don't know, a $1 million check. Boy, what I could do with that $1 million check. And so you went boldly and shamelessly, and you sat down maybe in Santa's lap. And he said, what do you want for Christmas this year? And you said, Father Christmas, maybe because you were confused. And you said, I think I want this and that, and G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip, and some new Legos, and man, when I'm 16, if I could get, you know, I don't know, a Bentley, and you had this wish list that you had. And rarely ever, I don't want to say never. I mean, I'm sure there's children like this. It wasn't me, but I'm sure there are children that go, oh, God, Father Christmas, if you could just use me to advance the gospel among the nations. God, if you would use me that people who've never heard the gospel would hear it, what a Christmas that would be. Maybe there are some children like that. Or maybe there's some that are saying, not my will. I mean, I would love Legos, God. I would love them. But if you don't want me to have Legos, then if you would just use me this Christmas that, I don't know, that orphans and widows and the sojourners and God, the hurting, the poor, the broken, if they could be fed. If God, I'd love to have, I don't know, a Christmas morning celebration with eggnog and bacon and eggs. But if you want me to throw a party for someone else who has nowhere to go and invite them to my house, then I'll do that. I mean, the point is that when you begin to pray like Jesus taught you to pray, sometimes He'll change your wish list. Maybe your wish list looked something like this. You had your piece of paper out, and it had all the stuff, and you got your little stockings up there, and you put all your favorite colors and what you think you need and what you want, and then you just use your random things. Well, what happens when you go to Father Christmas first is that sometimes He will change that list altogether. James chapter 4. Do you remember this passage? I think sheds light on this. James chapter 4, verse 2 through 3. James, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, you know what? You don't have because you don't ask, which is the first step in prayer. Ask first, seek and knock. But you don't have because you don't ask. And then he says, but sometimes, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Your passions, your sinful desires and cravings and wants that when you go to the Father the way that Jesus taught you, Abba, hallowed be your name. Oftentimes the things that we want them for our name. Your kingdom come. Oftentimes the things we want them because of our kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I mean, I wanted this for my will, things that I was thinking I wanted to do, but I don't want that. I want your will. You see, when you go to the Father the way that Jesus teaches us to, not only does the future change in that sense, but the Father changes us. And oftentimes in prayer, we think that we need to change God's mind about something, don't we? We think we know better. And so, God, I don't think this is the best situation. Let me advise you that you should do this, this, and this. And then we're waiting for Him to do what we think is best. When what ought to be the case is that we go to Him and say, Lord, if this is your will, then this or that, but if it's not, then I trust you. And Lord, if I'm thinking about this wrongly, and sometimes when you're even praying, Abba, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, it'll just dawn on you, maybe this is not about his kingdom and his will being done. Maybe it's more about me. And so Father first, right? Father first is what Jesus is teaching. And so he goes on and he says, he ratchets it up a little bit. And he says, suppose there's a child. I don't know, a child named Simon maybe. And Simon comes to his dad, his father, and he says, Dad, I was thinking I might like some fish. And I say, Simon, what kind of fish would you like? And Simon says, I don't know, Dad, maybe some grilled tilapia. No, not grilled tilapia. How about some grilled mahi-mahi? I don't know, Dad, maybe some grilled grouper. And so I say, well, okay. He asked me for fish. I know what I'll do to him. I'll give him a snake. What father would do that? Or suppose you had a child, I don't know, maybe named Anna. And you went to your child, or better yet, your child came to you and said, Dad, on the way to ballet this morning, Could you get me an egg McMuffin from McDonald's? Could I have an egg, Dad? But not just an egg, on a McMuffin, an egg McMuffin from McDonald's. What dad, instead of getting them an egg or an egg McMuffin, will give them a scorpion instead? A scorpion McMuffin? That sounds delightful. Bite down and it bites you back. No dad does that, right? And if earthly dads being evil, which is a weird kind of throw in there, right? I mean, if you and earthly dad are evil, which we are, right? We don't just do evil. Notice this. Jesus says all earthly dads are evil. We don't like this, but this is what the Bible teaches. It's called total depravity, radical depravity, that at the core of who we are, we're messed up. We're broken because our hearts are darkened. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says it this way, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And so earthly dads, even the best ones by God's common grace, even the non-Christian ones, if their child asks for fish, we'll give them fish and not a serpent. If their child asks for an egg, we'll give them an egg and not a scorpion. And so you see what he's doing. He's saying, if that's true for evil dads like Derek and Casey, then how much more true is it for a perfect, good father like God? So why would you run to other people first? Why would you run to other activities and things? Why would your life not be characterized by asking and seeking and knocking? Why wouldn't your life be characterized by praying without ceasing? Why wouldn't you just every day want to commune with God and fellowship with Him? And when you had a spare moment, it just was another moment to listen to Him and talk to Him and bear your burdens, cast your burdens upon Him. Why would you go to anyone else if he is in fact such a good father? Now, here's where it gets interesting at the end, verse 15. Did you catch it? He said, okay, if this is true that a father is going to give his children good gifts, then here's what you need to do. Ask for the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit have to do with bread? What does the Holy Spirit have to do with my Christmas wish list? What does the Holy Spirit have to do with my needs? And I think when you get this, this text comes alive. You ready? here's what the Father will do for you. Well, first, what Father Christmas did was give you himself. Father Christmas sent Christ. That's why he's Father Christmas. And when he sent Christ, who was born in Bethlehem of the Virgin, Christ in his humanity lived a perfect life. And there at the end of his life, before he died, he prayed. And how did he pray? Well, he prayed the same way that he taught us to pray. He said, Father. And he brought his needs to the Father first, because these were needs that no human being could carry with him. In fact, even his best disciples fell asleep with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so he, sweating drops of blood, cries out in agony, Father. And he makes a request. Take this cup from me. The perfect Son of God. Ask the perfect Father to take something from him. But then he qualifies it, doesn't he? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. As much as I want this cup to be taken from me, if it's not your will to take this cup from me, then I'll drink it. This is happening right in Luke chapter 22. It's on your outline, Luke 22. Just in case you think I'm making it up, verse 41 through 42. Jesus withdrew from them, the disciples, about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, Abba, if you are willing, that's what I want, remove this cup from me, this cup of divine wrath that is about to be poured out on him for your sins, this wrath. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Even when he's praying, he's open to the Father's will. And so he's asking the Father for what? He's asking the Father for fish. He's asking the Father for an egg. And what does Jesus get? He gets a snake. You see this, right? Jesus asked the Father for fish. And the Father says, no, you're going to get a snake. And the snake, the serpent, will strike your heel on the cross. He says, Father, but what about an egg? He says, no, it'll be a scorpion. And you will feel the sting. This is Father Christmas. This is Father Christmas giving you the greatest gift that you could ever receive. Jesus gets the snake so that you could get the fish. Jesus gets the snake and he crushes his head so that you could get eternal life forever with God. Jesus gets stung with death so that death for you could be defeated in Jesus' resurrection and you could have life forever. He gets the cup so that you could drink from the cup of his life-giving blood. And on the cross, Matthew chapter 27 says this, in the midst of being struck by the serpent and stung by the scorpion, he cries out about the ninth hour, Jesus, with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer is clear, right? Jesus was forsaken by the Father so that you could be accepted by the Father. And that diminishes all of your connection issues. It doesn't matter if you had the most abusive, negligent, evil, wicked dad that this world has ever seen. The Heavenly Father is enough for you. If you have attachment to Him, you can be secure. Even if you had the best father who was evil, and maybe he's gone now, you can go to the Heavenly Father, and He is sufficient for you. Father, Christmas gives Christ as the greatest gift, but not just the Son. The Father says, if you ask, I will also give you the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity in the Godhead. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'll give Him to you, and the Holy Spirit will come to live inside of you. And guess what? You think you need comfort. I'm going to give you the Comforter. You think you need peace. I'm not going to just give you peace. I'm going to give you the source of peace, the Holy Spirit. You think you need power this Christmas season? You don't need power. You need the One who has all power, and you need Him inside of you and living through you. You need to be filled with the Father, filled with the Son, filled with the Holy Spirit. Not coffee or eggnog or tea, as wonderful as those might be. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so my question is this. Have you ever asked God for that? Is the Holy Spirit on your wish list? If not, erase some of the other things and put Holy Spirit. And in a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to do that if you would like to. In fact, I'm going to give you a chance to sing that expressively and to ask for the Holy Spirit. And so in summary, I hope this helps. You ready? 4 points and then a bottom line. It's on your outline. Just summarizing things for you. Knowing God as Father is better than friendship because Father friendship is better than any other friendship. That's the point of Luke 11. Father friendship is better than any other. Number two, our Heavenly Father loves us to come to Him regularly with impudent, shameless, bold, and persistent asking, seeking, and knocking. This is what I would call Father faith. Father faith. Put your faith, don't just have faith, put your faith in the Father who loves you. He's Abba, He's Pater, He's Dada. Remember? Dada. That's who He is. Just go to Him. Number three, the Father delights in providing for our needs. He delights in providing for our needs. And you are never a bother or an annoyance to Him. And so He provides for you so that you might be Father full. He wants you to be Father full. And He's not annoyed like the friend in the room with his kids. He's not asleep. He never slumbers nor sleeps. You don't ever bother Him. Go to Him. Not just in the morning. Not just in the morning and afternoon and the evening. In the morning, afternoon, evening, and all throughout the day. Let be full with the Father. Number four. Go to the Father first before you go to any people, and then go to people if He leads you to them. So this is the principle, I think. Father first. I think that's what Jesus is saying in this teaching on prayer. Father first. And if you will do this, if you will learn to do this, it's a process, isn't it? I'm telling you, if you will learn to go to Father Christmas first, it'll change your relationships, your marriage, the way that you interact with children, the way that children interact with their parents. It'll change friendships. It'll change the workplace. I mean, it'll change everything. You don't have to be worried and anxious. And why? Because God doesn't just give you things. He gives you Himself, which is the bottom line, right? The Father gave the Christ what we deserve so that we could get what the Son deserves. Fellowship with the Father, Christmas, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's what you get if you want it. Do you want it this Christmas season? I'm going to ask Brian to come up now, and Brian's going to lead us and a time of response. Now, for some of you, I know it might mean that you're asking for the Holy Spirit for the first time, which means, essentially, it means salvation, that you need to be born again. You need to be made alive. There needs to be newness inside of you. And so, that'd be great. Father, save me. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he was resurrected. I believe, and I need you for everything, so would you give me the Holy Spirit? For some who already have the Holy Spirit indwelling you through regeneration, there's still a place for the ever-filling of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit. Maybe some of you have never been a real radical witness for Christ. It's because you could never be a radical witness for Christ in your own strength and power. Acts 1:8 says you will receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will empower you to be my witness to the ends of the earth. And so maybe for you is, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Immerse me in the Spirit. Baptize me in the Spirit. Overwhelm me with the Spirit. And then for some, it might just be, I've been going to people for too long. I've been going to things. I've been going to family members, to friends. And this morning, this is just a wake-up call for me. And you say, Father, I'm going to go to you first. And so would you freshly fill me with your Spirit? Because I want to live a Spirit-filled life day in and day out. And so would you stand with me as we respond? And I hope everyone responds in some way. Father, as we sing this song, may it be an expression of our asking. And Lord, we don't want to just ask. And we don't just want to just sing words. Through these words, oh God, we want to seek you, which is what we want to do every morning when we gather on Sundays to worship. We're not just singing songs. We're seeking you. We seek you because we need you. We ask because we need your answers. We seek because we want to find, and we're knocking, Lord. We're knocking because we want doors to be open that only you can. So, Lord, our life, there's doors that are shut for some of us right now. And so we're knocking. Lord, would you open doors? Would you open doors for us to share the gospel with family members this season? Would you open their hearts to receive the gospel? Lord, give us more so that we might give others more, so that we might be a part of your kingdom advancing. Lord, for those things that you have given us, we let go of them now. And Lord, they belong to you, and you've given them to us, and we want to be good stewards, and we want to use our time and our resources and our gifts, Lord. I pray for more gifts, God. I pray that as we call out to you and seek you and ask and knock, that you would give more gifts from the Holy Spirit to this body, and that those gifts would be fanned into flame, and that they would be used to the fullest, Lord. If there's anybody who's been sitting on the sideline because of discouragement or depression or fear or pride or selfishness, Lord, I pray that the gift that you've given them by your Spirit would be fanned into flame this morning. And so, Lord, here we are. We're asking, we're seeking and knocking, not just for things, but for the Holy Spirit.